Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men,
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause.
Happy Monday, Edwin.
Happy Monday, Andrew.
Boy, we are starting an exciting section of Text Talk, aren't we?
Yes, I'm excited. Mainly because so many other people are excited. I've received lots of comments from people about, hey, I can't wait till you guys get to Revelation.
Absolutely. I remember a number of years ago, I was able to do some live call-in radio shows, and about every other week, we would get phone calls about Revelation.
Everybody wants
to
know.
Talk about a lot. Everybody wants to know. Everyone wants to talk about it.
Yes, and I hope that we can have a reasoned and correct and accurate view of looking at this book, staying away from some of the more, I hate to be dismissive, but the more stay away from some of the more science fiction, fantasy type approaches to Revelation.
Yeah.
What did it mean to the people there? Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Our problem is going to be twofold. One, in some chapters, there's just going to be so much in five conversations, we're not going to be able to cover it all.
Yeah.
In others, there are chapters that the story, it may not have quite as much, and we may struggle, and it'll sound like five of the same conversations. I don't know. But we're going to walk through this. I think it's going to be really good. What I hope to do this week is have a set of five conversations. We're not going to cover everything in chapter one and look at deep meaning in every verse, but I hope that our conversations this week will set the stage for reading all of the book of Revelation.
Absolutely.
Give us five principles that we need to carry with us as we go through the entire book. That are all the stage is set here in chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I hope we can do. I'm going to jump into chapter one right now. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Wow.
Boom.
So we get off to a wonderful start, an amazing start. We've got the Apostle John, we've got angels, we've got the Son of Man, we've got spirits and lampstands. I mean, we're all over the place in this first chapter.
Yeah.
But maybe we should start with the first verse.
How about that? Maybe even the first word.
The first word, yeah.
maybe, yeah. If today we had just read the thing that I really want to talk about, it would have been, The Revelation.
Yeah, the Revelation.
Revelation.
The Apocalypse.
Yeah. Okay, so explain that. Why did you say that?
I said that because, well, because that's a word that people associate with this book, and it's a word that carries all of this angst, because when we hear the word apocalypse, we think about fire and warfare and destruction.
End of the world.
End of the world stuff.
Apocalypse has come to be equal to end of the world. And so if something is apocalyptic, we think it's just about some nuclear holocaust or some environmental cataclysm or, you know, that kind of apocalypse. There's a meteor that's heading for Earth and it's going to be an apocalypse. Or
so a massive end, a massing destruction.
Yeah. So, but the word apocalypse, why does that come up right here, though? Why?
Well, that word comes up right here because it's used in a biblical sense, and let's explore that a little bit.
Well,
so the apocalypse is the idea of a unveiling.
Yeah, but wait a minute. We've skipped a step.
Oh, what was the step?
Because mine says Revelation. It doesn't say apocalypse. You jumped to apocalypse. Why?
Oh, sorry. There's the Greek word back behind.
Okay, there we
sorry
go.
Sorry about that. I guess we did skip a step.
Yeah, we skipped a step. Yeah, so the word there in Greek is apokalypsis or apocalypse. The apocalypse, the revelation. Most folks today have this idea that it's this end of the world thing, and certainly there might be. I mean, look, you might have a revealing of the end of the world.
Sure.
But apocalypse doesn't equal end of the world. What is apocalypse?
It is about the unveiling. It's
yeah.
about making a mystery known. And, you know, I guess we could talk about the fact that it's also a genre of literature in the scriptures.
Yeah. Talk about
so, that. Well, okay. So when you have this precedent of Old Testament books, and I'm thinking particularly of books like Daniel and books like Ezekiel, there's a kind of genre of literature that's full of signs and symbols. The prophets are speaking in this kind of symbolic language to communicate truths and realities. Sometimes those things are future cast of what's going to be. I think another aspect of the apocalyptic literature, not only because of the signs and symbols, but often is language is communicating a judgment. There's going to be a victory. God is going to win. Evil forces will fall. And this is told in dramatic scenes and pictures.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things that folks, when they hear apocalypse, often think about that and even just hear the book of Revelation often think about, I'd like to pull back and see if we can give some more accurate expression and rendering of. So first of all, folks often just equate Revelation as, book of prophecy. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about the major prophets and the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and now this is the New Testament book of prophecy, just like we had all those Old Testament books of prophecy. I'd like to adjust that thinking a little bit. First of all, look, Andrew, you and I have talked about this before, just prophecy all in its basic meaning. What is prophecy?
Yeah, it's just God forth-telling. It's speaking God's word.
Speaking God's word. So how many books of prophecy are there in the Bible then?
I guess really, in that sense, 66.
I think that's the thing that we need to grasp. There are 66 books of prophecy in our Bibles that we're using here. Every one of these books we are claiming inspired by God.
Sure.
God, these authors spoke from God, and that is prophecy. Now, under that heading of prophecy, we have some other genres. Now, there are some predictive foretelling prophecies that say, hey, in the future, this event is going to happen. And sometimes those are quite clear and maybe even like checklists. But other times they're just images and pictures of big picture kind of approaches to things. And sometimes they're straightforward. Sometimes they're covered up in signs and symbols. I mean, when Jesus predicted and said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it, you can understand why most people would have thought he was actually talking about the temple.
Right.
But the apostles come back and let us know, no, he was talking about his body.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the foretelling has that kind of thing. As we look at Revelation, it is not a predictive foretelling prophecy in the sense of, let me give you a timeline of events, here's a calendar, here are signs and symbols to look for. This is giving us a story. It is a fantastic story that says, guys, you're in this story. You have a place in the story, talking to the original audience. You have a place in this story, and I want to show you what's going on for real right now and how this story that you're in is going to be resolved. And it gives these amazing, incredible, vivid images of judgment and victory that tell you, look, you want to be on a certain side. You don't want to be on that other side. You want to be on this side. And that's what's going on here.
So in that respect, when we come to the word the revelation or the apocalypse in the first verse, it is the idea of pulling back a curtain.
Yeah.
It's the idea of kind of showing you other spiritual realities and things at work so that you understand where you are in this life and in your service to God.
Can I share with you an illustration of what an apocalypse is?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that trying to simplify and clarify, I think there is a fantastic event that occurs in the Old Testament that helps us understand exactly what an apocalypse is. The word is not used there, but I think this is an illustration of an apocalypse. Understand that apocalypse is a revealing. It's a pulling back of the curtain. It's a removing of the veil. All right. Now, that could certainly mean, and I understand why some folks want it to be this, a pulling back of the veil on the distant future. I'm a God knowing everything that's going to happen, as he did in Daniel in a couple of chapters, could say, look, this event, this event, this event, this event, and he could line it out for us. But apocalypse is not pulling back the veil on the details of the future. It's pulling back the veil on what is really happening to us right now and what is God going to do about it. Mm-hmm. And pulling back the veil that separates this physical earthly realm from the spiritual cosmic heavenly realm that is also embroiled and embattled at this very moment. Here's the example. In 2 Kings chapter 16, Elisha, by prophecy from God, has been thwarting the raids of the Syrian king. That's what's been going on. The Syrian king figures out that it's Elisha doing that, and he sends, and here's what it says in 2 Kings 6:14. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. We don't have time to just go ahead and read the whole chapter, so let me just tell the story here. His servant wakes up and sees the horses and chariots, and he cries out, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" Mm-hmm. And Elisha says, "What? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with him." And you can understand why the servant would be reasonably freaked out right now, because all he sees is Elisha.
Right.
And then outside he sees an incredible army,
the
horses
hordes
and chariots.
Yeah.
Elisha prays this, "Lord, open his eyes." That right there, that's apocalypse. He pulled the curtain back, he opened his eyes, and then the servant saw that actually those who were with him were more than those who were against him. There was an army, a host, a heavenly host of angels and fiery chariots that were actually taking up this battle. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's interesting, because what we don't see is that host of angelic armies attack the earthly army.
No, they don't.
Elisha asks God to strike him blind. Carries those men, you know, leads those men to the capital of Samaria. Mm-hmm. They actually have a feast and send them home. And the Syrian king, at least for a time, stops raiding Israel.
Yeah.
What do we have here? We have the apocalypse, the revealing. Here's what's really going on. Here's what you don't see. You see all this stuff happening around you. You see the people canceling you. You see the people persecuting you. You see the enemies that want to destroy the church. What you need to see is that God really is doing something about this behind the scenes, and here are his plans. And again, I do think it's important to note, when the man saw the heavenly host,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't seeing literally, here's what's about to happen next, some kind of calendrical event. He's seeing God's got this.
Right.
God's got this under control. We're going to win. And that's what this book is. That's what a revealing is. Here's what God is doing right now and how he's going to resolve this.
What a helpful way to begin our reading of the book of Revelation and understanding just what an apocalypse is. We hope that you'll enjoy these conversations, that they will be an encouragement to you. Of course, we'd love to get feedback from all of our listeners. You can send us an email, texttalk@christiansmeethere.org, texttalk@christiansmeethere.org. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, we are humble and thankful to know that all 66 books of the Bible are your word, our scripture, our prophecy, because, Father, you are giving us your will in your word. And as we come to the book of Revelation, we are thankful that you have given it to us. Even as we begin to understand about an apocalypse, about an unveiling, Father, so that we might have better understanding that you are near, that you are at work. And in the difficult times for your servants and Christians, we can trust that your hand is always there for us. We praise you for Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.